It is the Wendy's Big Show. It is a Kim in the Void Judgment Day. Our Kim in the Void Judgment of the Day. Are you panicking about the Packers or actually somewhat encouraged? You can get in on that. Facebook.com/1057FM The Fan or on our Twitter poll at 1057FM The Fan. We'll talk with Eric Name on the beat for the Bucks for the Athletic. He's going to be joining us at 3:48 this hour, and we'll visit with David Bakhtiari, the Packers left tackle. He joins us, as he does every Tuesday, at 4:35. Right now, we want to know, and I know how this question sounds on the surface, but just think about it and keep it 100 with us. Do you think Aaron Rodgers has lost something? 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 1057FMTheFan. I was just going to say, we do have some breaking Packers news during the break.
So, Geronimo Allison injured reserve. Ian Rapoport says probably 8 weeks, might be back in time for the playoffs. But the shocking news is they cut Jermaine Whitehead. You're done. See ya. We all, I thought, believed that that was crap that he got kicked out of that game for the head slap with the hand. They cut him. Am I missing something? Gary?
Packers ain't messing around.
So they signed Will Redmond to the active roster. Okay, fine. But they have a lot of safeties? Like, how? What is going on?
I don't know.
Okay. So you're as baffled as I am on this.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't understand. They don't have any safeties as it is.
No.
Now you cut another one?
Well, maybe you can throw Josh Jackson back there. Maybe that's the plan. They're going young, man. Well, they're already young, but they playing a lot of young guys.
It's, dude, he's 25.
If
Whitehead.
Well, but now you got a draft pick that you can play that you pick pretty high.
Not for safety.
Hmm?
Not for the safety position.
Well, I think that's what Josh Jackson's going to be.
Will Redmond.
The kid from Iowa.
Who they promoted is 24.
It's not a move I think anybody saw coming. I don't think it's earth-shattering that Whitehead, that he's not a Packer anymore, but this is certainly not a move that I think anybody saw coming.
I didn't see it coming.
I mean,
not at all.
Again,
the
Packers ain't messing around. You make stupid mistakes, and especially if you're on the lower half of this roster, you're done. We have Mike Clemens on the line, our embedded Green Bay football reporter.
I don't understand.
Who also just heard this story and this news. Mikey, what do you got?
Yeah, Geronimo Allison just placed on injured reserve. Last night, Mike McCarthy was asked about, he had this suffered an injury, a groin injury, in last Thursday's practice in pads. And so then there was some speculation he might have to undergo surgery. I think that came from his agent. And
8 weeks, he's out.
Yeah, yeah. And McCarthy said last night, didn't look good. And so
Clemens,
now they had,
why did they cut Jermaine Whitehead?
Clemens don't know.
They?
Yeah.
Because they need him, because they think that he's still going to be work for them as a hybrid.
Clemens.
He doesn't know.
Clemens, they just cut him. He's gone.
Oh, they just cut him. Yeah. Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah,
all right. Well,
know.
then they're getting rid of the attitude, I guess.
I'm
not surprised by that. But, I'll tell you what. How has the locker room reacted to Clinton Dix getting traded and Montgomery getting traded after one mistake? And, Whitehead has done this. This was like the second time. That crew that called Sunday night's game was the crew that came to Green Bay during training camp. So everybody's very familiar with each other. And so that's why they went with a quick flag after he slapped the Patriots center in the face mask or the personal foul and game ejection. But, yeah, I guess that Goody's just saying we're not going to tolerate that kind of behavior.
I guess, yeah. So the press release that just came out literally while you called, Packers have signed cornerback Will Redmond to the active roster from the practice squad, signed linebacker Brady Sheldon to the practice squad, placed Geronimo Allison on IR, and released safety Jermaine Whitehead.
Yeah, and that's totally that for that function. I'll tell you what, I told you the Twitter story, right?
I don't think so. What?
During training camp, they were playing the Chiefs, and they had put Jermaine in the safety position, and he was making some pretty good physical plays. But then the Chiefs sent the tight end at him three times, and he got gains of about 10 yards, 15 yards. Then they're in the red zone, and Jermaine just got lost. It's like he didn't know where he was supposed to be. He was supposed to cover the tight end because he was just on the inside, just offside the outside linebacker. And the tight end makes a cut, catches the ball, and Jermaine twists around, falls flat on his face in the end zone, touchdown Chiefs. So So I tweeted out, you know, bad series for Jermaine Whitehead at safety. He's, you know, been pushing for special teams play and maybe getting onto the roster as the safety. Three successive bad plays and all that. It was just fact. It was just fact. Well, about 3 or 4 days later, Rob Domofsky came up to me and said, did you see what Jermaine Whitehead tweeted about you? I go, no, I don't follow players on Twitter much. And he said, well, hey, I saved it before he took it down. And it said, listen, you take those words and my name out of your mouth, old man. That's what Jermaine tweeted to me.
Wow.
But then he took it down about 20 minutes later. And then Rob said he also then blocked everybody else who covers the team. Like maybe PR got to him or something. So,
yeah, probably.
You know, that's the kind of personnel you were dealing with Jermaine Whitehead.
Unbelievable.
All right. Well, thanks, Mikey. Thanks for chiming in with the breaking news. We still want to talk to you at 5:35. You're not off the hook.
He's going
to
be on a plane.
Oh, you're going to be on a plane. That's right.
I'm on a layover in Philadelphia, and the plane's been – they've had a lot of bad weather out here on the East Coast, so we just got another half-hour delay, and allegedly we touched on a 5:28, but we were supposed to depart 10 minutes ago. So.
Well, we will effort you then at 5:35, Michael.
I'll keep you posted, boy.
Yeah, have
appreciate
a safe flight,
buddy.
Mike.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Right. So let's see if I got this right. So Gunkust – KOR tweets about this. So he's traded Montgomery,
mm-hmm.
Demaryius Randle,
mm-hmm.
Hachlin and Dix.
Hold on, he didn't trade Demaryius? Oh yeah, he did trade Demaryius mm-hmm. Randle. That's
yeah,
right. Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
So Montgomery, Demaryius Randle, Hachlin and Dix all traded off this team.
Mm-hmm.
He cut Jermaine Whitehead, mm-hmm. and of course Vince Beagle, who wasn't here very long mm-hmm. either. He's mm-hmm. also gone.
He traded Jordy Nelson too, right?
No, he. Cut Jordy Nelson.
Did he cut Jordy Nelson? Yeah, he did cut Jordy Nelson.
Cut Jordy Nelson. So that's another one added mm-hmm. to that roster.
Mm-hmm.
Jermaine Whitehead maybe looking.
It's not Ted Thompson.
No, sir.
All you that didn't want Ted Thompson, this is exactly.
Yeah, but this is not really, and we'll see, we don't know the finished product. It's also we haven't seen any players come in.
Right, you haven't seen all the replacements. I mean, he's filled the roster spots, but you haven't seen
anything yet.
What Brian Gutekunst is really going to do when he constructs a roster.
You've been doing a lot of cuts, but you haven't really done a lot of replacements.
Yeah. The guys who you've put in are not the permanent replacements for the guys who he has let go.
And so here's what you
play safety.
Here's what you're sitting at. I mean, here's what you're sitting at, and
you're
on top of all that, no Randall Cobb next year.
Clay
Matthews next year for sure.
No Mike McCarthy probably.
Yeah, and no Mike McCarthy. And
buckle in next year, folks.
Let's see Aaron Rodgers get pissed off at somebody next year.
Oh, buddy. It is going to be a fun offseason. I cannot wait for the offseason because that dude is going to be in the middle of this coaching search. Guaranteed. It's going to be in the middle of it. I'm telling you right now.
I mean, you definitely have to consult with him.
If he's not in the middle of it, he's going to lose his mind publicly.
If the Bucks are sitting down with Giannis and Chris Middleton before they hire Mike Budenholzer, then the Packers certainly should, at the very least, consult and get the thoughts of an Aaron Rodgers before they hire whoever is the next head coach, if there is a change at head coach. But Sparky, Jermaine Whitehead, maybe looking for work today. Got anything for him?
He's definitely looking for work. Young Express, baby, they've been in business for over 27 years.
Some people don't look that first day. They're just like, man, pass the bottle. I just got fired. I'm not looking for work today. I'll get started with that
when you're
tomorrow.
In his position, you don't really look, right, Gary? I mean, it's the agent's job. You don't do anything. You just let him go work. He doesn't have to do anything. It's not like you or me, Rob. I mean, I've got to go fill out applications and find a new job. He's got an agent that does all this stuff. By the way, did you see E.J. Manuel going off on the Bills today?
I did not, no.
We
should talk about it. Oh, because Peterman's horrible for the Bills.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah.
And he's saying, there's no way I throw that many picks and I don't have a job right now.
He's right.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not saying he's not. I don't know how Peterman does, to be honest with you. With the economy booming, Young Express is expanding in all departments, magnifying the need to increase their independent contractor base. If you ever thought about becoming your own boss, now is your time. Time to join the Young Express team. I'm explaining this again. When you're a successful transporter of expedited freight, you're picking stuff up, dropping stuff off, right? Point A to point B, pretty simple. You're using Young Express to make you money. You're using them because you are an entrepreneur at that point in control of the stuff. Live a stress-free lifestyle. Put the windows down, turn up the radio, and drive, baby, drive, and get paid for it too. They have a 24/7 dispatch team, extremely dedicated, taken very personally to keep drivers moving. At Young Express, you can go over the road 1 week and drive local the next. All kinds of different routes, local, regional, nationwide. It's totally up to you. With minimal investment in your own vehicle, and they're looking for cargo vans, sprinter vans, straight trucks, and tractor trailers, Young Express will provide you all the training necessary for you to become a successful transporter of expedited freight. They're looking for full-time independent contractors. Join the Young Express team today. You can find them at youngexpress.com. That's JUNGExpress.com. Young Express, success drives them.
All right, now we're going to have this Aaron Rodgers conversation, and we're going to keep it 100.
Who's playing safety?
Talking about number 12.
Who is playing safety?
You want to talk about that instead of Aaron Rodgers?
It doesn't matter. Whatever you want to do. My mind's just blown by this. And Whitehead's not great. Look. Oh, he's not a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, you're acting like there's a huge drop-off.
But my God, you're in a stretch here where you got to win. Now we're going to go throw a cornerback back there and go, hey, learn on the job, Rook.
Yeah,
see what happens.
Threw a cornerback back there.
That's a guy who played safety for this defensive coordinator.
Well, Bryce is still on the roster.
What are they going to do at safety?
We'll be right back. It's the Wendy's Big Show. I'm Rami Makhlouf, along with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and the former Packer and Badger running back, Gary Ellerson. If you're just tuning in, some breaking Packers news. Geronimo Allison placed on IR. He'll have surgery. And Jermaine Whitehead cut by the team today. Just 2 days after the slap that had him ejected out of Sunday night's game against the Patriots. We're going to talk with David Bakhtiari coming up at 4:35. Later this hour, Eric Name. He's on the Bucks beat for The Athletic, and us right here on The Fan is part of our expanded Bucks coverage. Right now, we want to know, do you think Aaron Rodgers has lost something? 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. We had Bob McGinn on at the tail end of the 2 o'clock hour, and Bob wrote this at BobMcGinnFootball.com after Sunday night's loss. The Packers didn't guarantee Rodgers $98.2 million in late August, expecting a career-low 60.6 passing percentage, 28th best at midseason, 6 fumbles, 3 lost, 4 delay of game penalties, 3 intentional grounding fouls, and a string of wasted timeouts. Rodgers is canonized on a weekly basis by the national media and the Packers' opponents when it should be fairly obvious that he's slipping back to the doldrums of his career that extended from Game 7 of 2015 until mid-October of 2016.
Now, did I make reference to that yesterday? Is that the same year where
yes.
he lost to the Colts?
Yes.
Remember I made reference to that?
I do recall that.
Yesterday?
And then this morning, I'm at PackersNews.com, and Tom Silverstein had a piece that said lack of accuracy and zip for Rodgers concerning for Packers. And he points out at least 3 times in Sunday's loss to the Patriots where Aaron Rodgers just flat out missed guys or his throws weren't as accurate as they could have been. There was when they drove into New England territory, got to the 14-yard line, and then they called a wide receiver screen, and Cobb had a cavalcade of blockers in front of him. Had Rodgers put the throw on the money in front of Cobb, the play probably goes maybe even for a touchdown. He throws it about 2 yards behind Cobb. He has to turn his body the other way, reach down to grab the football, then get up, and by that time, a defender from the backside had chased the play down and brought Cobb down before he could gain much. Then late in the first quarter, Tom says, Marquez Valdez-Scantling had a step on Jason McCourty on a go route, and it was open for a possible 44-yard touchdown, but Rodgers slightly underthrew the pass, which traveled about 32 yards in the air. McCourty was able to challenge the catch, and then he says, even in the third quarter, on the pass to Davante Adams, which was ruled a catch but overturned, Rodgers didn't have the zip when he was really stepping into throws as he has had in the past, taking it as a given that he wanted to keep the ball low on the sideline throw. It was still a little bit short. And I've been saying all year, Gary, and I'm not the only one, that all the other stuff aside, all the stuff that we talk about of not necessarily playing within the system, not taking the check down or the easy crossing route and always hanging on to the ball too long and looking for something downfield, that's all stuff that can be corrected. Aaron Rodgers just doesn't look like Aaron Rodgers physically, and I think you can probably put some of that on the knee injury, but he's not wearing that brace anymore, and we're still seeing him not do things that we're used to seeing Aaron Rodgers do. Has Aaron Rodgers lost something? 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan.
See, that I don't know, but here's what I do know, and I refer back to what I said yesterday about the Colts game. And he gets like that sometimes. And McCarthy went and fixed him. And you got to go fix him. But I don't know if McCarthy can fix him anymore, because I think clearly right now Aaron Rodgers feels like he knows more than McCarthy. And if he really feels that way, he is saying to himself, you can't teach me nothing. You can't fix me. I mean, I'm good. I mean, so if he's in that mindset, there's no way he can be fixed. And we have seen him. And that's why that you go back to the Indianapolis game. McCarthy then had to take some time, get him in the film room, show him what he's done, work with his feet, and kind of brought him back. But if you don't believe in your coach, he can't fix you. I don't know physically, and we do know physically, a knee injury can hamper you, it can hurt you, your plant leg and how you throw, follow through, all that kind of stuff. Yes. We know about the shoulder. Is that still hurting him? I mean, I said that, I think preseason, the beginning of the year, something about his shoulder, Rami. I think maybe you poo-pooed me on that. So, I mean, we don't know if that's the case. But what I am going to go off of is what most certainly I think what we do know is really can McCarthy fix Rodgers? Is he hurt? We know about the knee. Is he hurt? We know about the shoulder. But we don't know to what extent. We have seen Rodgers get like this before the knee and before the shoulders. The shoulder. Can he be fixed? Can McCarthy fix him? Will he listen? When you think you know more than your boss, you can't be fixed.
So it sounds like you're saying he has lost something.
That's why McCarthy has to go.
Need a fresh voice.
Yes.
And Aaron Rodgers.
That's
here.
Why he's got to go. If that's what all this is about, because Rodgers ain't going anywhere. I mean, it's McCarthy.
Well, yeah. I mean, if that needs to be split up, I think we all agree, except for Terry Bradshaw, that Terry Bradshaw said that he would, if he had to choose, he would choose Mike McCarthy out of those two.
That was what, a couple years
ago. I might have said something.
No, this
like
was
that too.
A few weeks ago.
Did I say that too?
He said it before.
Has he
said it last year? I think.
Yeah, Gary, you did say something like that a while back, and but now you've seen the light, right?
That's the only quick fix,
right? Exactly.
You got to keep the player.
But you.
I probably said that when I was pissed off at him about something. You know how I get emotional sometimes.
You do think Aaron Rodgers, it seems, has lost something, Gary. Not that
yes.
It's not retrievable.
Right.
But it looks to you like he's lost something.
Yes.
And it
yes.
looks like it to Bob McGinn.
Yes.
And it looks like it to Tom Silverstein.
To play, yeah, everybody sees it.
Do you think Aaron Rodgers has lost something? 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 1057 FM The Fan. You never lose when you go over and visit Gary's good friends over at Hyundai West Dallas. Isn't that right, Gary?
Yeah, well, it's November already, and that means it's time for the green and gold to go on a run, if you really believe in that. Bud boys, Bud, that being the Budenholzer.
Well, supposed to read that with conviction,
yeah.
Gary.
Boys, to keep winning. And they have been winning. The Bucks are playing great right now. And your time to take advantage of huge blowout savings with my friends over at Hyundai West Dallas. All year, you have heard me tell you why you should buy your car from Hyundai West Dallas. They have the best warranty around. They have the lowest real prices around. Best warranty around. They are also the best at customer service. They do not do all that bait and switch stuff like you see at these other dealerships in Waukesha and Milwaukee. Their prices are real. Their customer appreciation party was a huge success, I'm hearing. They want to continue their offer to all their listeners. Right now, folks, if you mention me, Gary Ellison, the 105.7 FM The Fan, you will be guaranteed to save $1,000 off any new car in stock. Need some service work done? Well, once again, mention me, and you will get a free tire rotation with a purchase of an oil change. Hyundai West Dallas is located 15 minutes from downtown Milwaukee and 15 minutes from Waukesha. Stop in and say hi and talk some sports to my boys. They love the Green Bay Packers, and they love the Milwaukee Bucks, and they love the Milwaukee Brewers, and they love the Badgers, and they love the Marquette Golden Eagles. When you stop in, tell them that Gary sent you.
I know it sounds crazy to say it, but think about this question. Do you think Aaron Rodgers has lost something?
Somebody did point out he did lose Olivia Munn.
414-799-1250.
Yeah,
you
well,
can tweet
he
us.
He recovered pretty good, though, Steve. You ever seen her?
Danica?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've interviewed her a lot.
No, I mean, you seen her on Instagram?
No, I'm not on Instagram.
You better get on Instagram, because
The other day, she
Did you see it on Instagram?
She often puts up her yoga videos.
Yeah, that's been on Twitter.
She put one up the other day. She said,
"She's trying to promote that book."
Touched my feet to the back of my head for the first time. It's the Wendy's Big Show. We'll be right back.
It's very frustrating because there's plays in every game that would put us in a better situation if we can get that, you know, that playoff, and maybe we get seven instead of three early in the game, and it sets a different tone. If we can, you know, if we don't fumble the ball there, if we, if I hit Devontae, you know, down 24-17 on second down there, who knows? We made some good plays. You know, Marquez had three nice catches for us. Jimmy made some plays, but, yeah, I mean, we all got to play better, myself included.
That's Aaron Rodgers. He knows he needs to be better. We're asking you, with the criticism becoming a little more common about your quarterback, do you think Aaron Rodgers has lost something, whether it's from the knee or something else? 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 1057FMTheFan, because I'm not the only one noticing Aaron Rodgers isn't doing things we have come to expect to see Aaron Rodgers do. 414-799-1250. Let's go to Tony, who's in Greendale. You're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Tone?
How you doing?
Doing well.
If he's lost anything, he's lost the ability to listen to his coach. And I think this has been going on for a long time. I mean, you've seen on the sidelines him butt heads before, the way he butts heads. And he just gets it in his head, he's going to call an audible or he's going to do something a certain way. And I see him trying to do everything. Like, you can tell he doesn't play relaxed. He tells everybody to relax. The fans are relaxed, but he's not relaxed. You know what I mean? It's like, you can tell, I just see a whole different posture to him when he's on the field. I mean, he wears his emotions on his sleeve, and I listen to that Colin Cowherd, or what his name is today, and, you know, he said a bunch of things about Rodgers that I thought was a bunch of nonsense. Well, some of it was true, but it's like, that's what I think. I just think he's trying to do way, way, way too much. I think there's such a disconnect between him and the coach, and I think that's a big, 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 big part of it. I mean, just a simple thing is, we got a first down on the 2-yard line, and then you're throwing the ball three times in a row. Are you kidding me? You know, when you rammed it down their throat, and you know.
To get it down there, yeah.
It just doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like there's something not right with the communication between the two of them. Yeah, then we get a touchdown, I think it was third down, and they're lucky to get that. What would they have done if it would have been fourth down and goal at the 2-yard line? You know, another pass probably. But that doesn't make sense. So can McCarthy override him, or is McCarthy too saying, "Hey, let's throw the ball"? I mean, there's no sense. It makes no sense.
Appreciate the call. And yeah, we've talked about all that stuff, Gary. When it comes to Aaron Rodgers and changing the play at the line of scrimmage, and either not wanting to turn around and hand the ball off, or when he does call a pass play, not wanting to go to the check down and take the easy play and always looking for the bigger, better play down the field. But Ben Fennell laid it out for us, and he joins us every Friday at 2:48 to go inside the film room for the Packers. That thing about Aaron Rodgers that frustrates people is also one of his greatest strengths. His ability to extend a play, and sometimes he extends it a little bit too long, but that ability to extend a play and wait for the bigger, better play to open up, yeah, it can be a weakness and it can be a detriment to him and the Packers, but in the past, when he was making these throws that we're talking about, it was also a strength. When you're going outside the system and you can't make those throws anymore, we see what we're seeing this year.
Sure.
If he was still able to make these throws we're talking about, we wouldn't be talking about all this other stuff when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. The bottom line comes down to, and Sparky, I don't know if you've noticed it, physically, I don't know if he can't, but he's not doing some of the things that he's done in the past that made up for some of the deficiencies in his game.
You know what's funny about you?
What's that? That I give the same guy blame that I give credit?
No.
That actually makes sense.
No. A couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And like Gary always says, you know, we're going to be hypocrites at some point. Yeah. We all are, right? Because you're on there 4 hours a day. Yeah.
Every day.
But remember a couple of years ago, Gary, Rodgers wasn't playing very good first half of the season, and we were all over him.
Oh, yeah.
We're like, dude, this is the H is finally caught up with
him. I think that was the run the table year.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then this guy over here,
yes.
Ryan Maglov,
yes.
guys.
Like, I know exactly what you're going to say.
He'll be fine. When he decides it's time to go, he'll be fine.
I was right.
And I said, Robbie, what do you think? You think he's just going to flip a switch and become Superman again? And Robbie's like, yep. And you watch. It'll happen.
Yes.
And you remember? Mm-hmm. He got unconscious hot. Like, it was stupid hot he got in the second half of the year.
Mm-hmm. Ended up putting up MVP-type numbers.
In the second half of the year. Didn't win MVP because he wasn't very good in the first half.
But I mean, the bulk of his season. Yeah. When you look at the season as a whole,
but Peter
he had
King
MVP-like
came out
numbers.
And said pretty much the reason he didn't make it was because the first half.
Right.
That's what Peter King said on our show.
Right.
Okay. So I'm going to come back to you now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think...
Yes.
The man is going to flip a switch?
Yes.
And...
Yes. For everything that I'm sitting here and saying right now, my answer to your question is yes.
You think he's going to flip a switch?
I think the switch will be flipped at some point.
And the question is, do you think Rodgers has lost something?
Yes.
So your answer is no.
No, my answer
is... This is the same thing that happened 2 years ago and he flipped the switch and looked great, so you're not worried. He's just off to a slow start again.
My answer is yes and he'll get it back. And he'll flip the switch.
See, when I read that question, I think... You know, age is finally caught up to him. He can't run as much.
Yeah,
his arm strength isn't there as much. All that.
It's all there. That's
all the physical tools are still there.
Yeah.
He's not doing things physically that we got used to seeing him do.
Well, his problem is more mental than it is physical. And his problem dates back to what we were talking about 2 years ago when Mike McCarthy fixed him. That's where he's at.
He won't ever admit that. No. Tom tweets at 105.7 FM, The Fan. It appears to me that Aaron Rodgers is throwing most of his passes off his back foot. Is he afraid to plant that lead foot because of his injury, Gary?
I don't know if he's afraid to plant. I mean, he's always thrown off his back foot. He's been Brett Favre-ish kind of way like that. I mean,
right.
That's been his MO. That's been his thing. I just think mentally he's out of sorts.
Jay tweets at The Fan, if it's his knee, he should sit down and get it right because he is hurting the team.
Well, it's still better than, what's-his-face?
Kaiser
Deshaun
and Hundley.
Kaiser, yeah. Yeah.
He's
still,
gone.
He's still better than that.
Come on, man. Light years.
Yeah. On one leg. Literally one leg.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, I'll take him over Deshaun Kaiser.
And falling backwards.
Yeah. Let's get it one more call.
On no feet.
We got to talk with some Bucks with Eric Name, but Tony in Pewaukee, you're on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Tone?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well.
How are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm wondering, how many screws are in that surgically repaired throwing shoulder of his?
Was it 18, 13? What was it, 18 or 13?
I don't remember exactly. A bunch
somewhere
of screws.
Because that range of motion certainly doesn't appear to be quite the same, and we just gave him a giant contract without seeing how that shoulder performed, even though he had, what, 2 or 3 years left on that deal?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why you wanted to rush that contract?
I really don't think so. And Gary said, thanks for the call, that I poo-pooed him when he talked about possible long-lasting effects of those shoulder injuries.
Well, it's going to catch up to him.
I didn't poo-poo you, Gary.
That's not a collarbone.
Medical experts poo-pooed you. Like, I was just going on what doctors were saying, and doctors were saying that Aaron Rodgers should be back to full strength, and Aaron Rodgers should be able to do all the things, have all the physical gifts that he had before the injury. Now, long term, yes, you guys all feel your careers.
When you cut on that thing, it deteriorates.
Yeah, you guys all feel your careers years after you leave the game. Just look at you right now having to undergo knee replacement. But in the immediate aftermath of that injury, we talked to multiple doctors on this show who said Aaron Rodgers should be right back to normal, that this shouldn't have any lasting effect in the immediate future.
What do you expect a doctor to
say? I'd expect a doctor to tell me...
It's going to be stronger than ever before.
Medical fact. No, they didn't say stronger than ever before. They said it should be right back to normal.
That's one of the lines that they use. You'll be stronger than
ever. I didn't talk to the doctors who operated on Aaron Rodgers.
No. In general, their line is it'll be strong. Your right knee will be stronger than your left knee. That's when we did the surgery.
How's that knee doing, by the way, Gary?
Not good.
All right, we'll hit a quick break. On the other side, we'll talk with Eric Name.
Most definitely not stronger than my right knee.
On the Bucks beat for The Athletic and on
What's
the Bucks beat, for Eric Name.
What is he?
He
is that Avatar?
Yes.
Avatar. Get him on.
He was the original Avatar, Gary.
Let's get it. Can we put a picture up?
Of Eric?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure we could do that. What, like on the website? On the Facebook? Twitter?
Yeah,
on the social media?
It's also medias? On his Twitter handle.
Yeah, I mean, you could just go to his Twitter handle and see what it looks like.
Now, you can't see his ears.
What's his Twitter handle? I think his head got me. He's kind of tall, long hair. What's his Twitter handle? Anybody know?
Eric_name, NEHM.
Right. Eric, it's ERIC.
Okay. Nice.
And he'll join us right after this on the Wendy's Big Show. It's the Wendy's Big Show. I'm Rami Makhlouf, along with the one and only Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and the former Packer and Badger running back, Gary Ellerson. Back to the Packer talk coming up at 4 o'clock. Is this season playing out
just how you wanted it to. That's coming up at 4, but joining us right now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, you find his work covering the Milwaukee Bucks for The Athletic at theathleticwisconsin.com, and he joins us every Tuesday here on the Wendy's Big Show as part of the fans' expanded Bucks coverage. Eric, how are you this afternoon, my friend?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're doing well. Gary's in the fold.
Donuts, don't forget.
He hasn't been in the fold after a knee replacement surgery for your first couple of visits to the show, so reacquaint yourself with Gary Ellerson, the man who coined you Avatar when you started out as our intern. Eric, I don't know if Gary actually remembers
who
you
are.
Did
that name stick or no?
For his remainder of his time with us. Not
it didn't go with him?
Not as he moved out in his career, no.
Nobody else called his Joker Avatar.
I don't think so, man.
I mean, I'll type it into Google, Avatar and The Athletic, and see.
I'm pretty sure you're the only one, Gary. Man. Pretty sure you're the only one. And yeah, Sparky just alluded to it. Before we get into the Bucks talk, got to talk about your trip out to Portland and your trip to Voodoo Donuts. I've seen this place on the Food Network, Eric. Is it all that it's cracked up to be?
Man, they got like Captain Crunch. There was some Oreos. There was some Fruit Loops. Like, they just put weird stuff on donuts. And I mean, I enjoyed it. It was just like a weird Portland thing, which I mean, I guess makes sense for the city of Portland. But yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it. I like donuts. I'm kind of a fatty, so it was good.
What did you get?
I got one that had like caramel and some chocolate frosting and some like ground up nuts and stuff. Mm. It was good.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
But Velasquez got the Fruit Loops one, didn't he?
He did. He did.
Yeah, he got the Fruit Loops one.
Yeah, he went for it. And to me, like, cereal on a donut, like, didn't add up. But Matt said it's breakfast. Like, I eat donuts and I eat cereal, so why don't I put them together?
Makes sense to me.
The man's got a point. Sounds good. I mean, the man does make sense.
He's a smart guy.
Eric, let me tell you what didn't make sense. Watching this Bucks team against Boston, just not putting up the three-pointers that we got used to seeing the Bucks put up, and you look at the discrepancy in three-pointers between the two teams and the fact that Boston hit a historic amount of threes for their franchise, that looked to me like the difference in the game. Were the Bucks not shooting threes because they got out of their game plan, or was that the Celtics defense forcing them away from the three-point line?
I would have to go back and look exactly when I tweeted it, but I believe it was late first quarter. From TD Garden that night, I tweeted out, "Bucks are shook." Like, they were. That was the matter of the fact. Like, they were just shook. I'm not gonna say they didn't realize how good the Celtics were, but it was the first time. And we talked about this a little bit last week when I joined. But you know, like, when things go wrong, that's when this whole new system, the new coaching staff, all of it becomes interesting. And when it goes wrong against the Knicks, okay, yeah, you can stick with the system, whatever. It's the Knicks, they're bad. You'll end up beating them, whether or not you miss these threes. But it was interesting that when things went bad against the Celtics, well, they went back to all their old habits. All of a sudden, we started to see them ISO a little bit more. All of a sudden, we saw Chris Middleton move back to the elbows, where he would try to post up a smaller defender. We saw Giannis do the same thing. So instead of this great wide open three-point shooting, wide lanes to the basket offense, you saw them all of a sudden look like the team that they looked like under Jason Kidd. I think during the second quarter at one point, I turned over to Matt and I said, "Is Jason coaching the team tonight? Did I not get a memo? Like, what's going on here?" And it was the first test, and I would say, I don't know if I want to say they failed it, but they certainly didn't pass that test of, when things go wrong against a good team, are you going to do the things that you said you were going to do, the things that have been preached to you by Mike Budenholzer? First time it actually happened, they didn't do it. So we'll see. There's a good chance that they get tested on this road trip. There's a good chance they get tested tonight in Portland. There's a good chance they get tested against the Golden State Warriors as well. So we're going to see what all this is really about, is if, you know, can they, in the tough times, stick to the scheme and the systems that have been put in place by Mike Budenholzer and not fall back on their old habits.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that. And like you said, this West Coast trip is not going to be necessarily an easy one for them, because all of these teams can score the basketball. Clippers, everybody thought was going to be horrible this year. Not, I don't think, as bad as everybody thought they were going to be. Nuggets are just as good as I think people thought they were going to be. They're playing well, and that's a back-to-back at the end of this road trip coming up over the weekend. Let's talk a little bit about how this is all playing out as far as rotations go, and who's getting minutes and who's not getting minutes at this point. Are you surprised by any of the minute distribution so far early in the season as far as, you know, Thon's not playing, Brown's not playing, back and forth to the G League now, Dellavedova's really not playing, DiVincenzo getting quite a few minutes in his rookie year?
I think the things that surprised me, Dante DiVincenzo being able to give quality minutes. Like, I just didn't expect that. I knew Bud was obviously a fan, and you knew that he was going to try to do everything he could to get Dante some run, but Dante's been playing about 20 minutes a night, and he's been, pretty overwhelmingly solid. Like, he hasn't been great. He hasn't been lighting the world on fire, but for a rookie, that is substantial, that if you can play and be a part of, you know, the rotation and not be terrible, that is huge for rookies, because rookies are by and large just terrible. They're always going to have a negative impact on the team. So that has surprised me. Just kind of the fact that Tony Snell's minutes have shrunk to where they are, where he's playing about 15, 18 minutes a night. Just because, he had started a bunch of games, and to me it always made sense to have him in as just kind of the guy that spreads the floor in the starting lineup and not a guy that necessarily needs the ball. So that kind of surprised me. And then with Sterling Brown, I think he just got passed up by a number of guys. And that kind of thing can happen. And you know, you just kind of wonder if over the offseason some of these other guys put in a little bit more work, or these guys impressed the coaching staff a little bit more, because this coaching staff doesn't really have connections to any of those guys from the past, whether it's John Henson, Matthew Dellavedova, Tony Snell, or Thon Maker, or Sterling Brown. They don't have connections to those guys, so they're just kind of evaluating and seeing what's happening. And, you know, maybe some of these guys passed up Sterling Brown. I thought he was due for a breakout season, and obviously that hasn't happened at this point. So I think all of that's kind of surprising. And then with Thon, the tough thing is, obviously everyone knows that John Henson's contract isn't great and kind of precludes him from being traded because no one wants to take it on. But John Henson's been solid. And, you know, the thing that Thon Maker always had over John Henson was, oh, he can stretch the floor, he can shoot threes. Well, whether or not people like it or are used to it yet, John Henson's kind of shooting threes, and he's hitting a number of them. Like, there have been some 0-for nights, but there's also been nights where he's hit 2 or 3. Like, those things have happened. So for Thon, he's got to find a way defensively to make an impact, because right now the thing that he had over John Henson, he no longer has over John Henson. John Henson can spread the floor as effectively as Thon Maker can this year because they've given him the green light.
You can, Eric, you can see, though, how this offense of system of Budenholzer have benefited Giannis. I mean, they can get down the middle a lot and getting a lot of dunks, easy points.
Yeah, it's funny. The thing I just posted at the Athletic Wisconsin, actually, I was talking to Giannis in the last week or so about how he feels like he's not even comfortable yet. Like, he doesn't know where his spots are to attack. He doesn't know, like, when his moments are. And, oh, by the way, he's now the favorite in Vegas to win the MVP. Mm-hmm. Like, he's played that well. He's put up those kind of numbers. And this dude doesn't even feel comfortable in the system yet. So, like, I think that speaks directly to your point that everything is just so open. There's so much open space. And the one thing I know that he's mentioned a number of times is, you know, he would have big games last year, and we all saw him do that. But he said, you know, they always beat me up. It was always very physical. Like, teams don't get to get physical with me anymore because I'm not posting up the way that I used to. I'm not trying to go through three guys. Like, I'm just able to pick my spots, and the spots are wide open when I come through. So I would agree. Like, it has just been such a big thing. And I was talking to Chuck about this morning, and one thing he mentioned was, like, you know, they shoot all these threes. Like, it's tough for people to get used to. And, you know, the thing I always say is every time I bring that up to my Budenholzer, he says, it's not about threes. It's about getting to the rim. It's about making it easy to get those points in the paint. And the Bucks have been able to do both things, get a ton of points in the paint like they did under Jason Kidd, but then also get some more points from the three-point line here under Mike Budenholzer.
Eric, real quickly, what's fair to expect from this four-game West Coast trip? 2-2, 3-1, undefeated. What are you looking for here?
Man, this is a tough one because we saw the Bucks struggle in Charlotte against a guy that can hit threes off the dribble, Kemba Walker. And, well, Portland has two of those guys in Dame Lillard and C.J. McCollum. The Warriors have, I don't know, 8 of those guys. How loaded they are, they can do that same thing. And then Nikola Jokic is someone that has killed the Bucks in the past. He had one of the easier triple-doubles I can remember in recent history last year against the Bucks, where they tied the NBA three-point record. And I think he had 17 or 18 assists. So those are three matchups. And the Clippers are good, too, like Sparky said. So, I think 2-2 if you can get 2-2 out of that and kind of keep it moving forward and get to a little bit weaker part of your schedule that you have coming up, I think you got to feel pretty happy about that. And obviously, if you ask the team, they'd say 3-1 or 4-0. But, you know, I think 2-2 seems reasonable because this is a really tough West Coast road trip.
Find his fine work at theathleticwisconsin.com. Follow him on Twitter at @Eric_name and catch him every Tuesday right around 3:48 right here on the Wendy's Big Show. And we always appreciate it, Eric. Great stuff as always, man. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
And he joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval process from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our communities since 1935.
Well, we're talking about my good friends?
Over at the Jewelry Center, GE.
Oh, geez. Located on 76 and Layton
Plaza. That's the one. That's the one I wanted you to talk about.
Blue Mile Road and Tri-City National Bank building right on the second floor.
The very same, yep.
New location.
New.
In Burlington, Wisconsin.
Those are the guys.
The owner is Dean Murray.
Dean Murray, that's the dude.
Always there.
Always there.
He's always there.
Always there.
I like a guy who owns his business that's always there. I mean, he's still working every day. You know, he ain't just trying to live off what he got and lures and all that kind of stuff. Dean is there because he's trying to make deals every single day to give you the best good price.
The best good?
Yes, sir.
Damn.
On a piece of jewelry in his store. And if he doesn't have it in there, they can get it. If he can't get it, they most certainly
get it.
Make it.
They'll get you the best good.
Design a piece of jewelry for you.
Nice.
Go check my good friend out, Dean Murray, the Jewelry Center. 76 and Layton Plaza in Brookfield, Blue Mile Road, and Tri-City National Bank building right there on the second floor, in a new location for you folks in Burlington, Wisconsin.
We'll hit a quick break on the other side. Is this actually best case scenario playing out for the Green Bay Packers right now? That's right after this on the Wendy's Big Show on a Kim and LaVoy Judgment.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.